told us about this particular goblet, which is incredible. What a thing to have. What other kinds of things have you collected?
I have... Well, firstly, I'll deal with photographs. I have an awful lot of photographs, but the difficulty with photographs is identifying the people within them. And whilst it's good fun for me to go through them sometimes and to pick out certain faces I know, I can't say that I know everybody that's in my photographs. I also have a range of housemaster's diaries. I have various orphanage magazines. I have... I have the estate agent's brochure showing the orphanage up for sale, and this is a kind of booklet form whereby it has internal maps that show you everything that the orphanage owned and the expanse of the ground that they owned, all the buildings in the village that they owned, all the numbers that they owned. The reason that they had so many houses in the village is that they would quite often maybe have these for some of the teaching staff or some of the housemasters and mistresses if they couldn't accommodate them within the orphanage itself. And bear in mind, when you had up to 500 children at one point, the place was pretty full with kids, so most of the rooms would be used up. So they did have quite a few extra properties, let's say, within the village, because the orphanage had quite a big staff. You know, they would have groundsmen, they would have boilermen, they would have gardeners, they would have, I can't even begin to think of what they had, but they had such a big staff that they needed to have accommodation for them as well in the village. But they also owned stretches of the river Spey, and they had the fishing rights on the Spey. They had farms outlying. They had moorland. They had a huge inventory of and portfolio of properties outlying the actual orphanage buildings. And I have the brochure that indicates that they were all up for sale. They were either tenanted farmers' houses and farmlands. There was individual properties. They even owned a substation that they owned the land on, an electricity substation. So many different little interests that they had. Quite why they bought so many, I can't say, but they had all this huge amount of influence in the village because of it. They were acting as landlords, they were acting as employers, they were acting as guardians of all these children. They had quite a lot of responsibility in Aberlour itself, the village that was annexed to the orphanage. And they had quite a lot of responsibility, not just to the people, but to the buildings and the upkeep of the whole village itself. I think, looking today, I think I can definitely see how it would all be done differently, you know. And I can understand why we now think that way. But it was a... It was a very large enterprise, and it was very well controlled and very well run by the people who were on the board of directors and the administration of the building. In fact, I take my hat off to them when I see what they were doing, and with property, because I myself became involved in property at a much later age, and I myself looked after tenanted properties and farms and rented buildings. And I know what's involved with that, and I take my hat off to the orphanage authorities at how much they had in their portfolio.
I'm particularly fascinated by the housemaster's daily diaries that you've got, because we do have similar things in that we know about in the archival collection, but only for a wee bit later when things separated out into the small group home. So we don't have anything like that for those years of the orphanage.
Some years ago, one of my housemasters at the orphanage died, and his brother very kindly said to me, you were at the orphanage and I know that you knew my brother and I'd like you to have all of this. So he sent me quite a large range of things that he had from the orphanage. Now, the first thing that I got from him was terms and conditions of employment, and that's quite a useful document. I've also got a separate letter explaining how much salary he would be paid per annum and how much holidays he would get. So these are some of the things that I have in my archive. I also have his daily diaries, whereby he talks about the discipline of the children, and you know what their misdemeanor was and what their discipline would be, whether it would be the strap or extra house duties, such as like maybe you know doing extra chores to help with the housework, and then you know if we would say, for instance, we were having a football game with another team, he would list all the members of the football team so that you know they were, all the boys would be listed. And I would even put the subs in. So, you know, he seemed to be, I think every day he must have gone to his room and sat down in front of his wee fire and filled in his daily diary of who did what, and it kind of gives you an insight as to how the place worked. He would have rotas of what boys were doing, and then he would talk about maybe going out for walks in the summer evenings before bed, and what time bed would be for certain ages of kids, you know, because slightly younger children would maybe go to bed at 8 o'clock, but some of the slightly older boys would be allowed to stay up till 9 or maybe even watch a television programme. So he listed all of these things in his little diaries, and I have two books of them. And various correspondence backwards and forwards from the orphanage that I have, when I've written to my housemaster when he's been ill. He had to go to Elgin Hospital, a real hospital, not just our small infirmary. Had to go to a big hospital in Elgin because he had recurring malaria, which he had got when he was in the forces in the Far East, and he was kept having recurring malaria issues. So he had to be taken to Dr. Ray's Hospital in Elgin for the better treatment than the smaller hospitals in Aberlour could offer. And I have correspondence going backwards and forwards, you know, when he was in hospital and hoping he's doing well, and what I was doing and what kite I was flying or whatever, you know. It would just be minutiae, you know, when you look at it now, but these were the things that were maybe important to us and to him at the time. So I have all of his things that he got that related to the orphanage, and they're fascinating documents, you know. And when I look at his diaries and I go back through the pages and I see the names and I see the different names, it is quite interesting reading, you know. And I'm sure that when some student from a university is going to look at these, they're not going to know their names, but they're going to sort of see how things were done in an institute X number of years after the event. And I'm sure that's fascinating, you know.